Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello and welcome to Success Story Saturday for 3-3, March 3rd, 2018. March Madness has begun and spring has sprung here in beautiful sunny Arizona, where we are back up into the 70s. The ugly red Hawaiian shirts are back out, likely for the duration. Forecast has next week rainy, but heading up into the upper 70s, and then we will be heading up into the upper 80s, 90s, and up to 100, 110, and even up to 120 in the coming months. But that was another rough Arizona winter. I hope yours was or still is fantastic also. So Rhino of the Day today. Yesterday, I shared one of my large leather rhinos out here on the terrace outside my office. And today, we have another large leather rhino, this one a light brown color. Yesterday's was a dark brown color, and this is a beautiful, fantastic, one of my favorites, and one of the larger rhinos in my collection of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rhinos. Okay, so today's Success Story Saturday, because it is March Madness, is a basketball player turned entrepreneur, and his name is Dave Bing. Dave Bing, who was a nemesis in my childhood of my beloved New York Knicks because he played for the hated Detroit Pistons, which would always battle the Knicks in the playoffs every year, and Dave Bing was simply phenomenal. This guy, he's now 74 years old, but he grew up and was an athlete, tremendous athlete in all the different sports, and decided at the end of his high school days to focus on going to college and playing basketball. He went to the same high school in Washington, D.C. as Elgin Baylor, one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and so that must have helped him make the decision to go into basketball. He was also an amazing baseball player. Only 6'3", and that's the reason he was on the fence about basketball, but he was a scoring machine. Now, by the way, a little-known fact, he had really bad vision in one of his eyes because as a kid he had built a little play horse or something to ride on, and he fell off once, or it broke, and he got hit in the eye with a rusty nail. And his family was so poor, they couldn't even afford medical treatment for him, and it just kind of had to heal on its own. And he had still has blurred vision his whole life, so how could he become a fantastic baseball player and a fantastic dead-eye shooting scoring machine basketball player? Just amazing. So that's business lesson number one. What is your excuse? No matter what has happened to you in life, you can overcome it. And if anyone would never be thought of to have a chance to be a phenomenal baseball and a basketball player, it would be somebody who can barely see out of one eye, has blurred vision. I mean, it's just incredible. But anyway, so he went to basketball at Syracuse University, and he became an All-American there, and was up in leading the nation in scoring, near leading all college basketballs in scoring. And so in 1966, he was the number two overall pick in the NBA draft. And that year, he was the Rookie of the Year and All-Rookie, you know, player. And the next year, his second year in the NBA, he averaged over 27 points a game and led the league in scoring. And he made the All-Star team year after year after year. Played about 12 or 13 seasons overall. At the end of his career, went to a couple of other teams. Won an All-Star MVP. Played in the playoffs for years, again, against my beloved New York Knicks, and helped to give the Knicks a lot of trouble. Dave Bing was a scoring machine. He averaged over 20 points for his entire career and was elected into the Hall of Fame and was named in 1996 when they came out with the NBA's top 50 players of all time. He was on that list. So phenomenal basketball player. And by the way, he had before, talking about his after basketball career in the business world, I'll tell another story of his childhood where his father, who worked in construction, I think as a bricklayer, and had one day a brick fell like way down out of an upper story of the building they're working on and hit him on the head and like gave him some permanent brain damage. So he vowed right then, Dave Bing said, I will never work a blue-collar job like that. I'm going to work white-collar type of job, thinking man's type of job. And during the NBA didn't pay like it does today. He would have made $15 million a year at least today, probably more than that, $20 million a year. And then all the endorsements he had come on. But back then, he was making $35,000 a year. And so he had to do off-season jobs, as many athletes did in all the different sports. And he took a job in Detroit working in a steel company, in the warehouse of the steel company. Did that for you get interrupted on a video because a call's coming in. So I was able to put that onto voicemail and continue with the video. And very proud of myself. I handled that technology issue correctly. So, yeah, he's working with a steel company. He left to form his own steel business. He got a bunch of basketball, he got a bunch of other people together, put his own money into it, and he formed the Bing Steel Company. And basically almost went bankrupt within the first few months, trying to manufacture steel and compete with the big steel companies. Dr. John is here, and Jim is here. Great seeing you guys. And so Dave Bing made a brilliant decision. He said, let's stop with the manufacturing. We're going bankrupt. Let's just become a supplier. And they signed a deal with GM in Detroit. I don't know if you've ever been there. There's so many companies that make their money from supplying the big auto manufacturers. I mean, companies can make millions and millions of dollars, you know, making the little rivets that go in the side of the, you know, dashboard glove compartment. You know, it's crazy. There are huge factories making one tiny little part for one thing, but since the auto industry is so huge, they make a ton of money. So the Bing Steel Company was off and running and made all kinds of money being a supplier. And then they went back into manufacturing later and became the Bing Group, which became like a multi-million dollar success. So he sold that company, he retired. And then in 2008, I don't know if you remember or if you even noticed, but Detroit's mayor was embroiled in some kind of controversy, which I think he was convicted of perjury, and they didn't go after him on the actual, you know, heinous, typical, dirty politician stuff he did. But they got him on perjury and forced him out of office, and they had a supplemental election to find someone to finish out his term, and Dave Bing entered the race and beat out 14 other competitors and won and became the interim mayor of Detroit. And then later that year, in 2009, I think it was, he won the actual election and won the four-year term and was the mayor of Detroit. And the last part of the story that I'll tell is another record that Dave Bing set, but not in a good way. He became the mayor of a city which at the time is the largest American city of all time to declare bankruptcy. Because that happened while Dave Bing was the mayor of Detroit. So even a successful business person was too late coming into Detroit to save that fiasco, because the cities all around America that are run by liberals and ultra-liberals for decades and decades and decades that are crumbling and in such disrepair and in such financial trouble, it's unbelievable. And Dave Bing just happened to be there when, and probably was a catalyst in the decision, because it's a smart business decision often, to declare bankruptcy. That's what the law's there for. If it makes sense to use it, then you do it. And Detroit gets a fresh start, and let's see what they can do. But that's Dave Bing. In honor of March Madness, we have a basketball player turned entrepreneur, and then from successful businessman, won the first election he ever entered for public office. Gee, has any other successful business person ever gotten elected to political office in America? I have to think about that one. Anyway, that's it for Success Story Saturday. So thanks, Jim and Dr. John, for being here live. I'll just check in tomorrow, as I always do on Sunday Funday, but I'll be back with more business building fun and tips on Direct Mail Monday. Last Monday, if you haven't watched it, give yourself an hour this, or a little more, I think it is, this weekend sign time, because I went through not only direct mail, I went through an entire Valpak mailing and taught dozens of different business lessons. I'll be going through a similar mailing that I received a couple of days ago in the mail, and I said, you know what, let's go through this one on Monday. So it's going to be another fantastic Direct Mail Monday, and I hope you'll join me then. Hope you're enjoying the rest of your weekend, and I will check in tomorrow, and then I'll see you back here again on Monday as well. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.